This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Greetings to our internet listeners, and thank you for the committee for coming back. After a few mistakes last year, I appreciate your support and all of your comments. Please turn off your cell phones, and I'd like to say thank you to the internet listeners, which would translate to my husband. Cell phone will be enforced again this year. I'm not quite sure what we will deem punishment. We have to get together and decide how to torture each other first. Secretary will call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bruner?
Here.
Craig?
Here.
Greenfield?
Here.
Hawks?
Here.
Heineman?
Here.
Marty?
Here.
Quam?
Here.
Rosem?
Here.
Schoenfisch?
Here.
Soli?
Here.
Tolson?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Consen? Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum with the majority of the members present-elect. Since there are no minutes as of right now, we will step over that step. There's going to be a bit of a change in the calendar today. We have House Bill 1004 and 1005. Per waiting to get some of the people that helped draft the bill from LRC that are not here today, we're going to, with 1004, we're going to, if there is no out-of-town testimony, we are going to defer that to the 21st, this coming Thursday. Is there any out-of-town testimony? Okay, seeing none. Okay, any questions of the committee on that? Okay, we'll defer that to the 21st day. Now, we'll move on to House Bill 1005. We do have some out-of-town testimony, so what we're going to do is take the respect for the person that's driven here from Lawrence County, we're going to take the testimony, and then we're going to, at that point, defer House Bill 1005 to Thursday, so we, in order, like I said, to have LRC here. So, we are going to get going on House Bill. We will open the hearing on House Bill 1005. This is revise and repeal certain fees that are established to compensate counties for services provided by county officials. Please hold your questions until Thursday, unless you have a specific question that you would like to have our testifier. She can answer questions today, but she will also be on the phone telephonically on Thursday. So I guess I ask you to use your judgment on that. We will now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1005. Make sure you've also signed in before you testify also. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for making the trip.
Oh, there. Okay. All right. Okay.
Excuse me. You need to identify yourself, please, also.
Okay. I'm Deb Tridle, Lawrence County Treasurer from Deadwood, South Dakota. Okay. I worked with the summer study this summer on House Bill 1005, sections 4 through 9, coming up with some fees to help the counties pay for our cost of our office. And on Section 7, that's a cleanup, removing the, back in 2002, I believe, they moved the liens to the treasurer's office, and they forgot to take the register of deeds off and put it in the treasurer's office, so Section 7 would be a cleanup. Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in support of this bill, and we just come up with the fees to try to help the offices if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. If you just want to stay there, is there any questions of committee members? Would you like to restate her testimony? Could you do that one more time? We had a couple people that weren't able to hear it.
I worked with the summer study this summer with Fred to come up with some fees for our office to help cover the cost for the motor V in our office. On sections 4 through 9, and on section 7 is a cleanup removing the register of deeds to the treasurer's office, because that law, the liens changed in 2000, I believe it was two, for the treasurer's office to do it, and they omitted taking that out and putting the treasurer in instead of the registered deeds.
Thank you. Please, if you would just stay seated. Questions by the committee? Seeing no questions by the committee, thank you so much for your testimony, and make sure that we have your phone number so we can reach you on Thursday if there should questions should arise, and they probably will.
Okay.
At this point, I'm going to defer House Bill 1005 until Thursday, unless there are further out of town testimony.
We have two from out of town. I was going to lay the groundwork, but I will be here Thursday.
Go ahead and lay the groundwork. That's just fine.
I apologize. I didn't know this was going to occur. Stacey Ackerman, thank you for the opportunity. I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. And the section of 1005 that pertains to sheriff begins on page 5, section 10. And this was last updated about 10 years ago. The background I wanted to provide to you is when we worked with a summer study this year, we kind of looked at our sheriff's fees from two different angles. One was, how do we compare with what the same equivalent of service is charged out in other states? And then the other perspective that the committee asked us to look at, what is the cost to our counties to provide this service? The sheriff's fees are a little bit different than the other fees that are in this bill, in that, with one exception, most of these fees are not for local property taxpayers. These are agencies from other states who are asking us to serve papers on constituents within our county. Subpoenas from the state's attorney are about the only thing, and we don't charge them for that because it's county to county. We are some of the lowest among our surrounding states, and South Dakota, we only collect the fee if we are successful. So we can spend a lot of time and effort and never recoup any cost. Currently, counties collect about 25 to 40% of what it costs in order to provide this service. And we often hear that counties can opt out if they need more funds. However, like I just stated, civil process is an area we have seen a steady growth in workload in, and it's being used by people who are not property taxpayers within our county. While it is a service that we provide, we feel it is reasonable to expect those who use the service to pay for it. Even with the increases in this bill, we believe that we will only be collecting two-thirds or less of what it costs us to do this. And I do have two people who are going to share with you the impact civil process has on their counties. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1005. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Marty Graves. I'm a captain with the Pennington County Sheriff's Office, and I oversee the civil warrants and prisoner transport for Pennington County. I'm here to talk about House Bill 1005 and the impact that it has on the Pennington County Sheriff's Office user fees. I think it comes down to adequate and fair compensation for quality services that we provide to the citizens of Pennington County, and also to other agencies that use those services, as Stacy had indicated. And most importantly, it's not about raising taxes. It's about raising user fees for people who use these services for our sheriff's office. Currently, our office touches about 9,000, a little over 9,000 civil processes for a year. Of these, 3,500 are summons and complaints. Of that number, approximately 70 to 75% are sent from other states requiring our services, Minnesota, North Dakota, and other states. And these are the states that have two, three times our fees capped on their collection of civil fees. As an agency, when we collect fees for this service, we collect about one-third of the cost that it costs our agency to provide these services. Even with the proposed raise in fees, that'll put us about two-thirds of collection of the fees, or the fees that we're costing our agency to provide these. It's been 9 years, almost a decade, since we've raised these fees. I think it's time that we look at these and come into the current times of what that actual cost is for our agencies. SDCL 7218 provides a mechanism for us to recoup fees that we use. These revenues are important to sheriff's office across the state, and particularly our agency. Just to give you an example, the Pennington County Sheriff's Office budget is a $30 million budget. 41% of our budget is supported by outside revenue, including these fees. That's $12 million that we get from revenue. It's important that we look at these revenues. We keep them current. We keep them current so that it improves our services and that we're able to cover these fees for this year and for future years to cover. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Further proponent testimony on Senate or House Bill 1005. Welcome to your Capitol.
My name is Tim Wahlberg. I'm the sheriff in Lake County. And one of the things that I'd like to visit with you about, difference in the perspective from a bigger county to a smaller county, I have five deputies that work in my staff, six to include myself, and we take care of all the civil process. Civil process would also include the criminal side, which could include the summons complaint. Also on the civil side, we would have executions, distress warrants, of those nature. And as Captain Graves had said, it's been 10 years, roughly, since we have seen an increase in these fees. We expend a lot of resources, a lot of time to try to search for these people that live in our communities, that create vacation homes in our communities. And also, when we talk about the execution side of the civil process, recouping those fees, there's a lot of time that goes into it, searching where these people live, the types of property, potentially to levy on, to sell, to protect their client that we're working for. With those fees, approximately 50% of our time is spent serving the civil process. And so that takes away of our time out on patrol, out on the streets, in dealing with the civil process. Also, part of our time is spent in the courtroom. So when we break up all of this components, if you just really sit there and think about the 50% for a minute, 50% of our staff's wages and time is spent on civil process and trying to serve them on the field. We collect a $25 fee right now, plus mileage. Should we become successful? Should we not be successful, the only amount that we can charge is just basically mileage. But there's a lot of time and resources put in to try to find these people. If we look at the execution side with distress warrants also, we could probably spend at least 10 hours just researching this person and where they live, what type of property they have, to protect the sheriff's office. And the execution fee is only $35. And if we go back to when civil fees had started, it goes back to 1939. And they've been updated up to 2007 to where we are today. And so as you folks, as you representatives sit there and look at this bill, I hope that you support the Sheriff's Office Association and think of our counties, try to recoup these fees and make it fair to the rest of us, the taxpayers of our counties, that are paying our fees and our wages to go out there and do this service. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm at this point, is there any further out-of-town testimony? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to the committee if anybody has any questions for those that have testified here today. Please do so at this time. All right, seeing no questions from the committee, what will happen is we will introduce this bill. It's already been introduced, but then we will let Senator Duvall, who is carrying this bill, will start proponent testimony again at that point and then move on with the process, as you well know. So at this point, we're going to defer House Bill 1005 until the 21st Thursday, unless there's any issues on behalf of the committee. Seeing none, we will move on to House Bill 1003. I'll be opening hearing on House Bill 1003, revise certain administrative functions regarding county government. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1003. Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This kind of looks like Ag Committee with a few new faces. But Set 1003 comes from the County Association when they went out and asked county officials for review of red tape and other updates that needed to be done. So this one was suggested by the auditor from Davison County, and therefore I got asked to carry the bill over here. Simply, Section 1, Line 4, amends
Representative.
Chapter...
Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, I can. My name is Josh Klum, representative for District 20. Sorry. Section 1, Line 4, amends 7-7-21, and it simply allows the county commission to close the courthouse for more than one day, of course, with proper notification and stuff like that. But I think the thinking there is if you have a multiple-day blizzard and outages, the law said they can only close the courthouse for one day, so we're changing that. Section 2 revises antiquated language regarding Memorial Day and the authority to appropriate funds to observe that. Section 3... is a rarely used, if ever, code that allows commissioners to maintain order in their meetings, and it gives them the ability to fine or imprison someone for contempt. This section does increase a fine that they can impose from $5 to $25. Sections 4 and 5 are... they're still used regularly, and they simply make township filing dates to counties for anything like election results or tax levies. They make the filing... to the counties from the townships the last day of March, and thereby making those dates consistent, whereas now they're sporadic as whenever those things are passed or elections are held. So that's pretty much the bill in summary. If there's any questions, I'll stand by for them.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1003. Proponent testimony, welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee. I'm Eric Erickson, an attorney out of Sioux Falls representing the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. First, we'd just like to express our thanks to the Summer Study Group for working on all this legislation and support the bill as presented by Representative Klum. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1003. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm here to support a couple sections of...
I'm here to support a couple sections of House Bill 1003 that affect
townships. Excuse me, sir. Can I get your name?
Yes.
Thank
I'll start over. Dick Howard. I'm representing the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. I'm here to support Sections 4 and 5, which deal with reports that the... township officials prepare and submit to the county elected officials. We're fine with those dates that are proposed, and we support that legislation.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony at this time on House Bill 1003. Proponent testimony? Seeing none, we will now entertain opponent testimony on House Bill 1003. No opponent testimony on House Bill 1003, so that we will waive at this time a rebuttal on behalf of the proponents. I will open it up to committee questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bruner.
I have a question for the prime sponsor.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative, I'm looking at Section 3. Where it increases a potential fine from $5 to $25, where would that fine money go at this point, and why does it need to be increased other than being punitive or whatever? What's the point of increasing it? $25 is not that much. I mean, if you're going to be in contempt, you're looking at a fine, but what exactly is the point of raising it?
Madam Chair, my understanding is that this was imposed back in 1870s, I think, and it, as with all things, it goes up. I have no problem with it staying at $5 if it wishes to be amended back to that. That's just what was being suggested. I mean, where does the money go? I'm assuming the general fund of the county.
Thank you.
Further questions of the committee on House Bill 1003? I can't see that far. I just had to go to bifocals. Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. couple questions. This bill is dealing with...
Who?
Pardon me?
Who do you want to ask the question to?
I'll get to that. This bill is dealing with the Board of County Commissioners and township officers. And I was just wondering if I could have the prime sponsor to explain why it's all these things in this one bill. It seems like they're not related. And if I could ask that question.
Representative, my understanding is that the suggestions made that comprise this bill came from the same person and were put in the same bill, would be my thought. So,
thank you.
Further committee questions on House Bill 1003? Seeing no further question, I'm going to close this public hearing portion of House Bill 1003 and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Sole?
I move do pass.
Do we have a second to that motion, do pass?
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Sole. It's been seconded by Representative Craig. The motion before us is do pass on House Bill 1003. Comments?
Madam Chair, this is seems to be a common sense, almost kind of a cleanup bill. And that a fine of $5 doesn't make a whole lot of sense. 25 at least makes a little bit of a point to somebody misbehaving. And I would recommend that we go forward to this and trust the folks that prepared it.
Any further comments by the committee? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm going to be a no vote on this bill, mostly because I've heard no real compelling reason to raise it from $5 to $25. You could raise it to $200, and I don't think it's going to make any difference. Just the fact that we haven't done it for so many years is very little reason to me for raising fees. I don't see that it's as we heard from a previous bill, the sheriffs have these costs. Where's the cost that is incurred with this other than it's inconvenient and it doesn't make sense to be $5? Well, what is $25 too? I don't see any reason to raise it, and for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Any further comments? If I could shine a little bit of light on what the summer study did when it came to the increasing of fees at that point, we did take into account inflation, and we tried to find a happy medium between per inflation. This would have been a much larger fine, and we tried to go with as low and what we thought was most manageable. That probably isn't going to explain anything more than you already know, but that was the reasoning behind it. Seeing no further discussion, the question is at hand is do pass on House Bill 1003. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bruner.
No.
Craig. Greenfield. Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem. Sonfish. Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye. House Bill 10 of... Oh, count, please.
12 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you very much. House Bill 1003, having received a majority of the members present, passes. Representative, I assume you will be handling this. Thank you very much. Moving on to our next piece of business, we will now open the hearing on House Bill 1002. We will now take proponent testimony on House Bill 1002. I am the prime, but at this point, I'm going to defer myself to far more intelligent people.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Marty Gindin, Auditor General with the Department of Legislative Audit. Thanks for the opportunity to come before you today and talk to you about House Bill 1002. This summer, we were asked to present financial information to the County Interim Study Committee, and during our presentation, we made the Interim Committee aware of a semiannual fund balance reporting requirement for counties that may no longer be of value. House Bill 1002, as written, would eliminate that reporting requirement. The bill actually does two things. First, on line 5, you'll see a change in terminology that this is to conform to current generally accepted accounting principles. Unreserved, undesignated fund balance is obsolete terminology, and this simply changes it to unassigned fund balance. So it's just a technology or a technical terminology update and does not have any substance to it other than just that change. Lines 7 through 11 then remove the semiannual fund balance reporting requirement for the counties. This is the substance of the bill. For some perspective, I thought I'd provide a little history on how this requirement came to be. SDCL 7-21-18.1 was originally adopted in 1981, establishing a 40% maximum fund balance for the county general fund. It is important to note that the 40% fund balance limitation only applies to the general fund of the county and not the road fund or the various other funds of the county. There is no penalty for not complying with this law. However, if a county is not in compliance with this statute, we as auditors will include a written audit finding in the county's audit report to make the taxpayers aware of the noncompliance with the 40% limitation. We feel it's up to the local taxpayers and the governing board to decide whether anything should be done regarding a county's noncompliance. We simply report. It's up to others to decide what to do. In 2004, there was discussion of whether 40% was the appropriate fund balance percentage for the county general fund. Some wanted to lower that percentage. During the discussion, counties expressed concern that measuring general fund balance at December 31st was measuring at a high point and that fund balances were lower at March 31st and September 30th, just prior to the collection of the main semiannual property taxes. A compromise was reached during that discussion, and the law was amended to include this March 31st and September 30th reporting to collect information on the fund balances at these low points. So we've been collecting for many years now then this fund balance information, and if there is a decision that needs to be made regarding the fund balance percentage, the data is available. The data show that, as expected, the general fund balances are typically lower at March 31st and September 30th than they are December 31st. How much depends on the county, as do many other things. Most counties are very property tax dependent. 58% of the general fund revenue for counties come from property taxes, although it does range from 20 to 70%, and the bulk of them will fall within 40 to 65%. So since sufficient data has been collected via this process, the question is whether the counties need to continue spending time computing these amounts and reporting them to legislative audit, where we compile and report them on our website. The Interim Committee believed that there was no longer need for the reporting, and I agree, unless there's someone who has a compelling reason or there is a significant user of the reports and those fund balances that I'm not aware of. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1002. Welcome, Mr. Wilcox.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. I just want to publicly thank Ms. Marty Ginden for doing coming in here today, explaining what we're trying to accomplish, and we certainly are in wide, broad support of this piece of legislation, and thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1002. Proponent testimony, seeing none, we will move into the opponent testimony on House Bill 1002. Opponent testimony on House Bill 1002. Seeing none, we will waive the short rebuttal. At this time, I will open it up for committee questions.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Representative Otten.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question from Marty. I see we're also striking the language in here of publishing in the minutes. Are those fund balances going to be published in the minutes from the county commissioners at a different point in time then?
Madam Chair, there's still the annual reporting requirement. The county has to prepare an annual financial report that has to be completed by March 1st, published by March 31st, and submitted to our office. So you're still going to get the December 31st fund balance reported each year in a public form. Because the reporting here in the minutes for March 31st and September 30th, that all came in at the same time. So preparing them and reporting them came at the same time. So the thinking was just to eliminate, because the work comes in preparing and, you know, that fund balance at that point in time to come up with that unassigned fund balance. So you'll still have the December 31st reporting.
All right, thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, the chair now closes public hearing on House Bill 1002 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Heineman, do pass, seconded by Representative Craig on House Bill 1002. Comments? Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was on the county study task force, and I thank Mr. Ginn for the presentation. Certainly, the information he pointed out about them looking at the March 31st and September 30th fund balances and what they really proved was very instrumental in our committee making a decision that it really wasn't of much value. The audit presentation and the publishing, which was much more of a succinct evaluation of really where the fund reserves were for the county. So it was quite compelling for us, I think, to support this because we saw no value in the March 31st and September 30th reporting requirements. The published audit that you get through the county is by far a much better measure of what the county's fund balance is, and so we went with that. So I urge you to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further comments? Seeing none from the committee, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1002. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Schoenfisch.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye. House. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, 13 yeas.
Thank you. House Bill 1002, having received a majority of the vote, but the member present passes. I will be handling this bill. Oh, you can. Representative Heineman?
Move consent.
Second.
It's been moved consent by Representative Heineman, seconded by Representative Craig. Those who are in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
We pull it off consent at this point with one no vote. So we will be going to the floor. Any further business on behalf of the committee at this time? We're going to close on a positive note. I would like the pages to come up and introduce themselves, where they're from, and what their plans are for their future.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Nelson. I'm from Huron, South Dakota, and I will be going to USD next year to become a teacher. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello, I'm Patrick Winter. I'm from Lenox, South Dakota, and after high school, I would like to go to School of Mines for Mechanical Engineering.
Wonderful. Welcome, and thank you so much for the work that you're going to be doing for the next few weeks. Any further business on behalf of the committee? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been moved by Representative Rosem and seconded by Representative Heineman. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.